In its quest to provide an open forum for discussion of controversial issues, this station allows hosts and their guests to express themselves without any significant censorship. You are advised that any view expressed by the host or their guest are not necessarily the views of the owners or management of TogiNet Radio, Togi Entertainment, or the Owners Group, Inc.
Hey, moms, it's time to have fun, save money. Let's chat. It's time for Mommy on a Shoestring with Beth Engelman and Jenna Riggs on TogiNet.com. It's family fun tips, tricks, games, and activities and recipes. It's entertaining and informative for your little ones and the entire family. Beth and Jenna are very aware about our financial situations these days and the time constraints of today's crazy lifestyles. Who knew you could do a soccer game and ballet recital on the same day with the same kid? So, Mommy on a Shoestring is here to show you how to almost make incredible gifts for less than $10, like a battery cake, or how to take on and win the Junk Drawer Challenge. Mommy on a Shoestring has all kinds of tips and instructions, from gifts to crafts. Lots of great ideas that don't break the bank, like repurposing those old teacups or beer glasses that are just collecting dust. Why buy when you have everything you need right under your nose? And Mommy on a Shoestring on TogiNet will show you how. So join us now for Mommy on a Shoestring. Here are your hosts, Beth Engelman and Jenna Riggs.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Mommy on a Shoestring, our guide for living large on a small budget. I'm your co-host, Beth Engelman.
And I'm your co-host, Jenna Riggs.
And today is such a special show. We're going to be joined first by Cindy Hudson. She is the author of the Book by Book, a complete guide to creating mother-daughter book clubs. And this is such a special topic for me because when I was younger in junior high and also high school, all I wanted to do was read the same book my mom was reading. And usually it was Sydney Sheldon or Danielle Steele, but I'll never forget one day I said, Mom, just tell me, what's your favorite book? I want to read the same book as you. I want to read it. And she said, Atlas Shrugged. So I went out and got it. I was like, huh, it sounds good. Sounds like a good mystery. And my eyes glazed over after one page. I went back to Sydney Sheldon. And but if we had been in a book club, I think I really would have gotten a lot out of it. So we are thrilled to have Cindy here.
Yeah, that's going to be great. And then after Cindy, we're going to be speaking with Jenny Wilkie about upcycling. And this upcycling is a trend to make something better out of used items. And she's going to come in and talk to us today about her great ideas on upcycling clothes.
And then finally, we're going to have part two of our interview with Michelle. She'll be back to talk to us about taking pictures and some tips and tricks for how to be more efficient and take better pictures. But before we begin, I just wanted to welcome in the studio today, we have two guests. We have Debbie and Deanna, who are going to be upcoming hosts of new shows. Debbie's new show is called Do You Believe in Fairy Tales?
That's it.
So welcome. And Debbie is thrilled too because she is in a mother-daughter book club. So she's going to chime in as well. And the other thing we wanted to mention too is Jenna and I, everything that we talk about on the show will be up on the TogiNet website on our Mommy on a Shoestring page. But Jenna and I also have a website called Mommy on a Shoestring. You can go to it by mommyonashoestring.com. We always have clips from the columns I write for our local paper, the Pioneer Press, as well as other tips and tricks and crafts and ideas for having fun on a small budget. And we have a blog. And so, Jenna, I thought it would be fun because my big goal is to try and, you know, write more for the blog and do more with the blog. So I thought it'd be fun if you wanted, maybe we could share what we wrote about this week on our blog.
Sure. Yeah, I think the last thing I wrote on our blog was about free cycling. And basically, if you haven't heard about free cycling, it's a national, it's not really, I guess it's sort of a movement or a group, but if you just search free cycling, it'll come up. I think it's freecycle.org. But basically, what it is, it's a group that you can join locally, and every local group has a sort of a couple people in charge of making sure that the members get all the emails. But it's basically an email group, and where members post things, either something that you want to get rid of or something that you want, and it's all free. So the main motivation of FreeCycle is to get to pass along things that might end up in landfills, but there's all sorts of things on it, and there's no strings attached. It's basically you put it out there. I've gotten rid of tons of stuff, but you know, things like those black pots after you're done planting, you have all these black pots left over where there are people who want those and you can't really recycle them. They're not really, you know, plant stores can't take them back, but you list on FreeCycle and they're gone. And the greatest thing about FreeCycle is that things that you list that you're giving away, you get to, you know, people will email you back and say, I'm interested and this is why. And whoever you pick to come get those items have to come to your house to get them. So you don't actually have to take it anywhere. That's the catch and the best thing. So we've gotten rid of larger things too that like the thrift store may not take because they're too big or, you know, things that are really too big to put in my car, you know, like an old rug or something like that. It's fabulous. So I would really highly recommend it. It's really a great community tool and just, you know, keeps things out of the landfill, which is great. So,
and it's a great mommy on a shoestring tip.
Exactly.
And mine was just a little bit of some exciting news. I have a new book that's coming out probably in February. It was a book I wrote 4 years ago called The Kite Race, and it was part of Dalmatian Press Piggy Toes. And when I wrote it, the Piggy Toes was being sold. And so the book was put on hold and I forgot about it. And then this week I just found out that it's actually coming out and it's being published and I'm so excited. And so I dedicated my blog and this radio show to all of us, especially me who have been dumped or put on hold or had something canceled. You know, strange things happen. And
you never know when they'll come back. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So on that note, we would like to welcome an author, Cindy Hudson. She has written Book by Book, which is a fabulous guidebook to creating mother-daughter book clubs. So welcome, Cindy.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me on the show, Beth.
We are thrilled to have you.
We're so excited. Hey, Cindy, so let's start out by, can you tell us what inspired you to write this book?
I first started thinking about writing the book because I was in a mother-daughter book club with both of my daughters, and I noticed that there were not a lot of resources to help moms find good age-appropriate books to read with their kids. There were not ways to find activities for things that you could do. There was lots of information for adult book clubs, but not for book clubs that included two generations, which actually do require a few adjustments to the things that you do when you gather together. And so I wanted to provide a guide that would help people create new mother-daughter book clubs.
I think that that's great. When you're having the book club, what are some of the reasons why? Like, what are some reasons when you're trying to motivate your daughter to join the book club? What are some good reasons to sort of motivate her or moms to do it?
Well, it's interesting that you say when you're trying to motivate your daughter. It depends on the age that you start, but most book clubs start when the daughters are around 8 or 9, and girls don't need a whole lot of motivation to read at that point. They really enjoy reading. They like doing it. It's a great activity, and they like being around their moms, too. And
right.
So just coming up with an idea for something that the two of you can do together that's just for the two of you, no other family members are included. Your daughter is likely to see that as something that's very, it's kind of an honor for her to be in this with her mom. And it's exciting. And for girls who are maybe a little more reluctant to read, there are opportunities to do things like be around their friends and do crafts and share food. So it's not just the reading. It's a whole social activity.
Right. And, you know, I love that you say start at 8 or 9 because you really get them when they're young and then you can sort of continue to build that relationship with your daughter because at 8 or 9, you're exactly right. I remember, well, I always loved being around my mom, but, you know, mom and girls are still sort of close that it's really when they get to be, you know, middle school and older that sometimes the relationships can often be strained.
Yes, that's true.
Right. And putting those building blocks in early is really important. You always have something to fall back on, and if you started it when they were a little bit older, it might feel a little strained or like you were trying too hard, you know, to be part of her life. And
yes, and, you know, always, it's never too old, so if a daughter is interested, you can start when your daughter is in high school or even as an adult. But the middle school years are probably the most difficult. So you're right. If you have something in place already that you're already enjoying and going to, you're more likely to be able to continue to be able to do that, even if there are issues that come up when they're 12, 13, 14
right,
years
right.
old.
Right. Hey, Cindy, what's the difference between a mother-daughter book club and like a regular book club? What are some of the things that are different between those two things when you're planning one?
Well, for one thing, you really want to provide some time for separate for the different generations because there are two age groups. So, for instance, I was in a book club with friends. We were all basically the same age. We all basically had the same issues. We sat around and had snacks, and then we talked about a book and talked about our lives. But there's two very distinct groups here, and so you want to give both groups time to socialize with their peers because that's really important. And then you want to have time where you're all together to be able to talk about issues for that are important to both of you together.
And, so how do you do that? How do you organize it so you sort of accommodate both groups?
We have done it in both of my groups, and I hear other mom-daughter book clubs who do pretty much the same thing. If you have any kind of food or other activities to start with, that's where you separate. So okay. If you have dinner or if you have dessert or if you do a craft, then you can do separate time there and then gather together for book discussion.
Okay, that makes sense. And we are here, as I mentioned, we're here with Debbie and Deanna. And Debbie's daughter is, how old is she, Debbie?
She actually is 10.
Okay, and you guys just started your book club,
right?
We
did. We started this year, and we actually have girls in it from the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. And so we thought it was great to have kids that were older and younger, so the older ones, once they get to middle school, have somebody to look out for them. We thought it was kind of cool.
Right. So how did you go about picking out your book?
I Googled mother-daughter book club
okay.
on the web.
Which is Cindy.
And that's you, Cindy, right? And guess what book we read first? The Mother-Daughter Book Club.
By Heather Frederick.
Yes, you're right.
Yes. It's a great book.
Great
it's a
book.
Very great first choice.
And we just, my daughter was dreading it. She was dreading it. She didn't want to do it. She's like, I don't know anybody in this group. And I said, we're doing this together. And after the first group, she said to me, Mom, that was the most fun afternoon I have ever had with you.
Yay.
Which is it's a great story, right? I think that there are these kids who love to read, but you're right. There's always reluctant readers. And what is this going to be? I know when I go to book clubs or whenever I join something new, I'm always like, even as an adult, I'm always a little bit like, oh, do I really want to go? Maybe I have a stomachache. Anyway, we will be right back with more Mommy on a Shoestring and more Cindy, where we will talk more about her fabulous book and mother-daughter book clubs.
More family fun tips, recipes, activities, games, and other things that won't break the bank are coming up. It's Mommy on a Shoestring with Beth Engelman and Jenna Riggs on TogiNet. Have fun, save money, and we'll be right back after these. Get ready to get busy with Getting It Done. Getting It Done with Jill Staroszewski. Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com. We'll be bringing you moms and dads who are getting it done. Parents who have a lot on their plate but still manage to go that extra mile to accomplish things that they have long dreamed of. Well, how do they do that? Well, that's what this is for. The goal is to educate, motivate, encourage, and support the multitasker in all of us. Whether it's that book that you've been meaning to write, that business that you've been hoping to start, that dish that you've been striving to master, Getting It Done is here to help make it happen. Motivating you to get started, encouraging you to keep going, providing tips and advice on how to keep the kids happy, healthy, and safe while getting it done and done well. Learn from fellow moms and dads who are getting it done and learn about yourself along the way. It's Jill Staroszewski and Safety Mom Media bringing out the stars in all of us. It's Getting It Done with Jill Staroszewski, Wednesday nights at 9, 8 Central on TogiNet.com. Congratulations on being the proud owner of an adorable, soft, cuddly, sweet-smelling, smiling, cooing, hungry, tired, gassy, screaming little bundle of joy. So now what? Where's the owner's manual for this thing? Where are my instructions? Right here. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman, Mondays at 10 a.m. Central on TogiNet. Infant care specialist Blythe Lipman has worked with babies for over 20 years and works extensively with new parents, providing workshops, in-home visits, tips, and daily phone calls to ease those frazzled nerves. With baby and toddler instructions, you can get the advice you need on how to survive and enjoy your baby's first year. From 32 ways to stop a baby from crying, to 14 ways to get a baby to eat, and so much more, it's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman, Mondays at 10 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Mommy on a Shoestring on TogiNet. Have fun, save money. This is The Fun Show, showing moms how to make things, do things, and enjoy things with the kids for a very small investment of time that will bring great rewards. It's Mommy on a Shoestring. And now, back to our hosts, Beth Engelman and Jenna Riggs.
Hi. Go ahead, Jenna.
Oh, thanks. Hey, welcome back to Mommy on a Shoestring, and we are talking with Cindy Hudson, the author of Book by Book, The Complete Guide to Creating Mother-Daughter Book Clubs. And in the last section, we were just talking with Cindy about all sorts of things about starting a mother-daughter book club. And, you know, I was wondering if you could tell us a few other things about how a mom and a daughter might start their new club, some organizing tips, you know, who do you invite, that sort of thing.
Sure. One of the things that you can do to make, it may seem overwhelming at the beginning to think, oh, who, you know, how can I put together a group that's going to include 10 or 12 or more people? But one of the ways that I think it helps to do that is to look at maybe existing groups that you're in. You can look at your Girl Scout group or sometimes girls in a classroom, depending on the size of the classroom and the size of the school. You can look at groups that might be available at church, and you can also partner with another friend, and that's what I did in both of my book clubs. I had one friend that I was really close to, and our daughters were also close, and we each decided to invite other moms and daughters. So we were mixing it up a little bit, including people outside of our normal social circle so we could meet new people, and still have people that we felt comfortable with as all. So everyone knew someone and everyone was getting to know someone.
Mm-hmm. And do you find, do you recommend that people meet in their homes? Or, you know, I know that I have some friends who are in book clubs that actually meet at bookstores.
Yes.
Or other places, churches and such. What do you recommend?
It depends on how easy it is for people to get to a central spot. Sometimes it is easier to go to a bookstore, to go to a library. Mother-daughter book clubs are very common and popular in libraries. And both of my clubs have met in my home and our members' homes, and we feel very comfortable with that, just rotating hostess duties around from the different members of the club. But it just depends. There's a little more involved in having it in your home. You may want to clean up a little bit and serve certain foods or whatever that you're cooking for, whereas if you have it off-site, you may be able to purchase food or you know, everyone comes together. They don't have to worry about what they left at their home that they didn't do when they have the whole group over.
Right, right. And how often do you recommend that groups meet, or is it just age appropriate?
That does change as they get older. Typically, younger girls meet every month during the school year, clubs with younger girls. And as they get older and the demands on their time and from sports and activities and from school get greater, then typically the meetings go a little bit lighter. It's like, we don't want to give up our time together in book club, but we are having more difficulty getting books read every month. So then might cut back to every 6 weeks, every couple of months, but still maintain that thread of the group.
Right, right. Yeah, I have found that I've been in some book clubs in the past where adult book clubs, but where we love meeting, but everybody's schedule gets so crazy.
It does, yeah.
Do you have tips for people if that was to happen to their book club? Where are there tips for keeping them going? Or
the easiest thing to do is to pick one specific day of each month, like the fourth Thursday or the first Monday, and then everyone knows as they're planning that to keep that day open if they can. And that's probably one of the easiest things to do. If you have a lot of members in your club, sometimes clubs can go 7, 8 pairs, 9 pairs. They don't care so much if everyone's there. Smaller clubs, it may be easier for them to say, yes, this date works for all of us, or we're going to change this if it doesn't work for all of us, and we're just going to keep trying. So it really depends on the size of the club, to some extent, whether you keep on with your date no matter what, or you're willing to be flexible and change things around.
Okay, great.
What about when it comes to considering a book club, a book? Like, what are some things to consider when choosing a book for a mother-daughter book club?
You know, it's interesting because it's not always, I think certainly when I'm trying to choose a book for book club, I always think, gosh, what would be the book that everybody would like? And I want to choose something that everyone would love when we start to talk about it. And that's actually not always the best choice. It's, first of all, it's pretty much impossible to find something that 12 or 14 people are all going to say that I loved. But it also doesn't provide much great discussion. It's the difference of opinion that lets you talk about things and learn about each other and get a different perspective that may influence your own opinion as to what you thought about the book and whether you thought it was something good or not. I know sometimes the books I have liked the least, after discussion, I think, well, I found a lot more to appreciate that in that than I thought I would when we went into it. And I've heard other people say the same thing. So it's really more having something that issues to talk about and that everyone can say what their opinions are, and then that prompts more discussion.
And what about nonfiction versus fiction? Do you have a preference one over the other?
I'd say the majority that I hear of for book clubs is fiction, but nonfiction definitely has a place, particularly with memoir, I think. Some of the more successful books or memorable books that have been read in my groups and others I've talked about, Red Scarf Girl, about the Cultural Revolution in China, and Zlata's Diary, which was written by Zlata Filipovic, who was 11 years old at the time of the conflict in Sarajevo. And those things brought recent history to life for the girls that couldn't have been done so easily through their history books. They were really fascinated by those stories.
That's great. I mean, that's the best way to sort of learn is through storytelling, I think. And Jenny, did you guys just read with your mother group, mother-daughter group, Three Cups of Tea?
Is we did. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And our, I'm in a different, I'm in a group that's called the Mother-Daughter Project Group, but it's, we do books sometimes. And yeah, we just read the kids' version of Three Cups of Tea, and it was wonderful. And it was, for us, we were able to talk about the book and also roll it into girls' issues. And, you know, there was a lot there to talk about. So
when you're choosing a book, what about length? Because that's always sort of a big deal. I remember I was a teacher. My kids, whenever I student taught eighth grade, I was the world's worst eighth grade teacher, but I did do it. And the kids would always be like obsessed with like how many pages every book was. Do you have a recommendation?
Yes, we tend not to look so much at pages, but I think when you're looking at so many different schedules and different reading levels too, it is usually more successful to go for something that's not super long. It depends. Sometimes we do longer books over Christmas break, or certainly over the summer we'll assign something early that gives people plenty of time to read it. But I find the plot keeps moving a lot faster, and it's going to keep everyone's interest a little bit easier for books that are maybe 250 pages or a little bit less.
When choosing a book, do you recommend that the whole group get together and vote on a book? Is that sort of a good idea?
Yes, that was one too.
You know, that's something that the group can decide. It's some groups really like having a say in that, and others feel like, well, there are so many different books that people in the group like to read. So each time, I want one choice for my own each time. So I want to be able to say, I love this book, or this is something I really want to read, and this is what I recommend. And others say they want it to be more democratic. Let's take a vote all around. Everyone gets to pick a book in the hopper, and we'll see who, you know, which one comes out on top. So it's really for the group to decide what's going to work best for them.
We actually did something really interesting in our, this is Debbie, really interesting in our book club, because we actually had a lot of girls wanting to read different books. And so we put all the different books actually from your book club list into a hat, and the girl whose house it was at got to pick from the hat. And that was how we picked.
Oh, that's
a nice idea.
So every time you know, whoever is the hostess, the child hostess, the little girl, gets to pick from the hat. And there was just kind of, that was what we were going to read.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting way to do it.
I wonder, too, how do you find that it's that people prefer, like Debbie's group, to do just to pick a book for the next book that's coming or to make a list of like what you're going to read for the year? Do you find that, I mean, in terms of if people are trying to put library books on hold, I know that's been a problem for some of our book clubs in the past, that the book is coming, and but there's a huge there's a huge line at the library for the book.
Oh, sure, yes. And that is an issue sometimes. It has been an issue in groups that I know of. But still, what I find mostly is that people want to have the option to change their minds later, and so they still prefer to choose on a meeting-by-meeting basis in most cases. I know that there are some book clubs that will pick 6 months in advance, and that lets people read as they get a chance to do it. The danger you have in that is forgetting what you read if you read it earlier.
Right.
You're most likely to be able to talk about a book well if you just recently finished it.
Okay. Right. And what about dads and boys? Because I'm a mother of a son. Is there a place for them in these clubs?
You know, I think they can certainly make a place that they want to. I've heard of dads and sons book clubs in libraries. I haven't heard of any individual father-son book clubs, and I would love to hear more about those. I've heard librarians say you have to be a little more thoughtful about what you're going to do when you have boys and do things that are a bit active as well as having the book discussion, but it doesn't take, I think, a lot of adjustment to do something like that.
Right.
And it's a way to keep kids reading for fun. It doesn't matter, girls or boys. It's really important to keep kids reading for fun. And so being part of a book club, I think, is important for that.
You know, I love that idea of a father-son book club. You know, just even if you choose a topic, you know, this sounds so cliche and it could go beyond this, but, you know, a memoir about, you know, a famous sports athlete, where if they both share a love of sports or something, again, that's very cliche because we know some boys don't love sports and girls love sports. But it's a nice opportunity. One of the things I love is it keeps them reading, but it also keeps like the parents in close to the kids.
Yes.
Which is what we want.
And it brings up all these topics that you may not have an entree to discuss otherwise. We're all busy. We're all going about lots of activities. And if you're actually reading something together, then you're going to be talking about those things in the book.
Exactly. When we come back from break, we're just going to wrap up with Cindy so you can find out where to buy her book. And then we will be right back. Thank you. This is Mommy on a Shoestring for TogiNet Radio.
More family fun tips, recipes, activities, games, and other things that won't break the bank are coming up. It's Mommy on a Shoestring with Beth Engelman and Jenna Riggs on TogiNet. Have fun, save money, and we'll be right back after these. Inspiring women to be true to themselves. Get ready for Tracy Porter Radio on TogiNet.com. 2 p.m. Central, Wednesdays, starting November 4th. Tracy Porter, lifestyle, home and fashion designer. Inspiring women from all over the world with their fashionably eclectic goods, savvy tips, style advice, and encouraging spirit. TracyPorter.com is home to her designer products and voice to thousands of women who flock to Tracy's daily blog for a daily dose of pure Tracy. And now she's coming to TogiNet. All of Tracy's enchanting goods can be found at TracyPorter.com and her nationally sought-after mail catalog, Tracy Porter. Plus, you can find her here on TogiNet. Tracy's awards, appearances, and accolades are too numerous to mention here. So, ladies, you've just got to come to be inspired, too. With Tracy Porter Radio, inspiring women to be true to themselves, to let their passions lead. Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Central, starting November 4th, on TogiNet.com. Get a jump on what your preschool kids need to know with Let's Get Ready for Kindergarten from Stacy Kennenberg. A mom told me this is the book I've been looking for. This book gives me all the information I need about what my kids need to know. And a private school admissions director said this is exactly what we test on. Google it, get it, and get ahead. Let's Get Ready for Kindergarten. Applauded and approved by parents and educators. Let's Get Ready for Kindergarten is a state-approved teaching tool. On sale now. In stores or online at CedarValleyPublishing.com. Well, Welcome back to Mommy on a Shoestring on TogiNet. Have fun, save money. This is The Fun Show, showing moms how to make things, do things, and enjoy things with the kids for a very small investment of time that will bring great rewards. It's Mommy on a Shoestring. And now, back to our hosts, Beth Engelman and Jenna Riggs.
Hi, we are back with Mommy on a Shoestring, and we were talking to, or we still are talking to, Cindy Hudson, who is the author of Book by Book. And Cindy, before we sign off with you, we just want to know, where can we buy these books?
Book by Book is available at independent bookstores around the country. It's available at the national bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Borders, and online at all of those outlets, as well as Amazon and Powell.
Okay, and if listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, can you tell everyone your website?
Yes, the best site is through my website. There's a contact list there, and the website is www.motherdaughterbookclub.com.
Just like Debbie did. Well, Cindy, thank you so much for coming. We love having
Cindy.
You.
It was a pleasure being here. Thanks so much for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. Come back. We'd love to hear more from you later on.
Oh, great. I would love to.
Okay, great. Bye.
Thank you.
So next on our show, we are going to be talking with Jenny Wilkie. And Jenny Wilkie is the owner of Books by the Way Bookstore, but she's also a fabulous upcycling clothing maker. So she's going to come talk to us about upcycling. Hi, Jenny.
Oh, hi.
How are you?
Hi, Jenna.
Hey, so go ahead, Beth.
Oh, I was going to say, I have to ask, what can you tell us, what is upcycling?
Upcycling is a fairly new term. Most people attribute it to a book called Cradle to Cradle, and the concept is, instead of reusing something again and again and actually taking away from its value and its purpose, you are actually reusing something and bringing more value to it than it was in its original incarnation.
Okay, so it's different from recycling in terms of recycling. I might recycle some newspaper and it turns into some other paper product.
Right. And it also, as the paper quality diminishes each time it gets recycled, too.
Right. Okay. Okay.
So how did you
but
get
recycling
started?
Is still good.
Yeah, right? No. And before you, at the beginning of the show, we talked about free cycling. So I feel like there's free cycling, which I love because it's free. Recycling is good. And upcycling, I love. So how did you get started with it?
Really, it started a couple of years ago. We had already been making decisions regarding food purchases, just really evaluating where does our food come from, what are the impacts on the environment with growing it and transporting it. And that mindset just seeped into other decisions that we were making. And so clothing, we're a family of five, so clothing is something that we have to think about. And once I started looking into how clothes are made and really sort of the seedy underbelly of the textile industry, once I saw the impact of growing cotton and labor issues involved with milling cotton and sewing into garments. I mean, everybody's aware of the term of sweatshop and really the labor issue around making our clothes is pretty serious. And at that point, I looked at clothing that is, you know, grown organic cotton, and sometimes efforts are made with fair labor practices, and those were so expensive for us, but I know that's the true cost of what our clothing should cost. And so I started looking at secondhand clothes, and we already bought things from thrift stores and consignment stores anyway. And I got introduced to the idea of upcycling through a couple different websites, the Brown Dress Project and Swaparamarama, and the idea of taking old clothes and seeing them as a resource because there's still a lot of life left in them, and actually turning them into something really, actually really new and cute and fun.
So those two places, the Brown Dress Project and Swaparama, are they groups or?
The Brown Dress Project was actually an individual woman, Alex Martin, in Seattle, and she wore the same dress that she made herself for a whole year, sort of as a statement about consumerism in America and what we can make do without. She did wear accessories, things that were appropriate to the weather, and she actually said she worked in an office, and she said nobody even noticed for 3 months.
Wow. And so then, go ahead.
And then Swaparamarama is a not-for-profit organization that originated in New York City that allows people in a bigger way to get together, bring their clothes, work on sewing machines, have workshops, and turn their unwanted clothing into something new.
Yeah, cool. There's a Swaparamarama coming up in Chicago pretty soon, and I'm pretty excited to go. But I don't know how to use a sewing machine. Is that an issue?
No, they will have people there. We have had two Swaparamaramas here on the island, and we brought people in that already knew how to sew. We offered free sewing lessons in the beginning, and then people wore name tags, too, that said, yes, I can sew, and you were welcome to ask anybody for help. So we had probably half the people that came didn't know how to sew.
Okay.
So, Jenny, when you talk about upcycling clothes, like what do you mean? Like, what would you make for your kids if you're making them upcycle clothes or doing a project?
Sure. One of the things that's really easy and comes out really fun and different every time is taking several different T-shirts and really cutting them up into strips. You go ahead and cut the top third or so of a shirt and leave the collar and the sleeve and part of the body, and then cut bottom strips off of other shirts and sew those on to the original shirt, and you end up with, like for girls, you end up with kind of this cute tunic that looks very boutique-y and one of a kind. And that's a good use for shirts that maybe have spills on the front of them up
right
near the collars, or maybe the sleeves are starting to get frayed, but maybe the bottom is still in good shape, and really just evaluating it for what it's worth still.
I love you have an idea for winterizing T-shirts that I'd love for you to tell the listeners about.
Sure. A lot of times at the end of summer and fall, your kids' T-shirts especially, maybe aren't going to make it to next summer. Maybe they're going to be too short. Their bellies are going to be sticking out. So this is a way to go ahead and extend the life of the shirt, is to cut long sleeves off of another shirt and sew them onto the short sleeve shirt. And you can use a long sleeve shirt that they've already outgrown as well, because it's going to get the extra length from the short sleeve. And then you can also use that same idea of cutting the bottom off of a shirt and extending it too, so that it'll cover their stomachs through the winter.
That's great. Hey, and so you're talking about I love the idea of reusing T-shirts and using pieces of them. I have a regular sewing machine. Would I need a serger, or can you just do that with a regular sewing machine?
You actually can use a regular sewing machine on a zigzag stitch. Is usually
okay.
the best way to go. And I took some experimenting with my machine, and now I have a piece of tape taped right onto my machine that tells me what stitch and what length and what tension works best with different fabrics. Serger is ideal, but they can be kind of intimidating.
What is a serger?
The serger are those sewing machines that you see with big spools of thread. Usually it has three or four different spools of thread, cones, really. They look like cones, threading into the machine at the same time. And most of the clothing that you would buy in the store, if you, like, turn the hem of your shirt over and you see this zigzag stitch with straight lines on either side of it, a serger can do that all in one go. And that if you were trying to duplicate that with a regular sewing machine, it would take three or four passes to do all of that.
Well, okay, so let me ask you a question. So I don't have a sewing machine, and the idea intimidates me. I took home ec 8th grade. I think it was like the worst grade I've ever gotten in my entire life, which is sort of funny now that I write Mommy on a Shoestring, because it's all about craft. So clearly I use a lot of Velcro tape. But what would be your recommendation? I would love to do some upcycling. You know, my son is growing like a weed, and I'd love to retain some of the cute clothes he already has. But what should I do if I don't know how to use a sewing machine? Do you have any recommendations?
An easy project to begin with is something that people call debranding a shirt. So say say your son has a shirt, maybe that has a logo on it, or maybe even it's a shirt that someone has given to you as a hand-me-down, and that iron-on logo is flaking off. You know how they do that. And mm-hmm. so you can go ahead and cut an applique out of other scrap fabric, other shirts or, you know, pajama bottoms that are grown out, any kind of fabric. And so I like to use stars a lot for boys. I've made sort of generic superhero shirts with circles and lightning bolts. So you cut those shapes out, and I recommend ironing it onto fusing paper. You actually iron it onto the fusing paper first and then cut. It's a lot easier. Okay. And then you can just hand sew it on to the shirt. So you want to pin it in place and then hand sew it. And, you know, it would probably maybe look better. It could be the look that you're going for. It might look better with the sewing machine, but you could go for sort of that more this is handmade look and sew it on by hand. And you might want to be careful washing it is all. Just make sure that it doesn't come apart.
Now, so Janae, do your kids help in making these things? Do they get involved in picking, you know, the fabrics or shopping for pieces and...
Yeah, and so far I haven't done any shopping for any clothes. People okay. are giving me clothes left and right. And also most thrift stores can only use about 20% of what they're given. So we have several secondhand stores on the island, and they really are overwhelmed with the amount of clothing that they receive. And so it's actually a way to unburden them to take. I can't take nearly the amount of clothing that they don't need, but it's very easy to just go and pick through and take a garbage bag of clothes, and that will last me quite a while. But, my kids are involved when I'm laying the clothes out and trying to figure out what kind of go together and what I can do to salvage something. And they have a lot of opinions, and then they always have their own projects while I'm teaching me, you do this to this shirt, and... So, yeah, they get excited about it.
Oh, that's really great. Now, Jenny, I know you and your friend Jennifer both, you know, you're making things, and I know that you guys have an Etsy store. Can you tell us about that real quick?
Sure. It's Jennifer's Etsy store. It's called The Pink Dahlia, like the flower. And that's actually connected. She's someone that I knew in Arizona, and when I was looking for what people were doing in upcycled clothes, I stumbled on her shop. So... We actually mostly sell the upcycled clothes in our bookstore, but special for today, we've put a lot of clothes in her Etsy shop. And I've seen the whole category of upcycled clothes grow on Etsy.
Fantastic. Great. We'll be right back with more Michelle and more Mommy Mama Shoestring. This is Mommy Mama Shoestring for TogiNet Radio.
More family fun tips, recipes, activities, games, and other things that won't break the bank are coming up. It's Mommy on a Shoestring with Beth Engelman and Jenna Riggs on TogiNet. Have fun, save money, and we'll be right back after these. Being frugal doesn't mean being cheap, and the Frugalitarian is here to show you how. Jody Olson is the Frugalitarian on TogiNet, 3 p.m. Central, Wednesdays.
This is the art of great living. It's just a matter of time before people start asking you to tell them your secrets to better style, bargains on food, home decor, and clothing.
Your wants don't have to change, just how you acquire what you want. On the Frugalitarian, it's an uncommon mix of style, fashion savvy, and earth friendly. Showing you great taste, great style, and great ideas for finding everything you want for nearly nothing.
I'm speaking from experience. I live on a beautiful farm where I take care of sheep and do a few light farm chores for extremely low rent.
For more clever ideas on how to waste not and totally want not, go to thefrugalitarian.com. Join us every week for more information on how you can live better for less with Jody Olson. It's The Frugalitarian, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com. Christian work-at-home moms, here is your own show on TogiNet. It's CWAM, Christian Work-at-Home Moms, with Jill Hart and Diana Innan, Thursdays at 10 a.m. Central on TogiNet.
I'd love to share with you just a little bit about how CWAM can help you, whether you are new to the work-at-home world and just starting out your search, or whether you've been working at home for a while and are looking to grow your business.
Jill Hart is the founder of Christian Work-at-Home Moms, CWAM.com, and co-author of So You Want to Be a Work-at-Home Mom. Jill has worked from home from 2000 and started her home-based business to assist other Christians who desire to work from home while maintaining a godly life. And Diana Ennen with VirtualWordPublishing.com.
I really, truly want to see you succeed, want to share the joy that I have in being home with my kids and being able to build my own business.
And she's ready to help you now. Christian Work-at-Home Moms with Jill Hart and Diana Ennen. Thursdays at 10 a.m. Central on TogiNet. Welcome back to Mommy on a Shoestring on TogiNet. Have fun, save money. This is The Fun Show, showing moms how to make things, do things, and enjoy things with the kids for a very small investment of time that will bring great rewards. It's Mommy on a Shoestring. And now, back to our hosts, Beth Engelman and Jenna Riggs.
Hi, and we're back. And before we introduce Michelle, we just want to make sure that we're saying goodbye to Jenny. And Jenny, can you just give our listeners, I know it's going to be on the TogiNet website on the Mommy on a Shoestring page, but we'd love for listeners to know how they can read your blog and your husband's blog, as well as go to the Etsy shop.
Sure. Our blog at fairclothing.com, and the Etsy shop is etsy.com/shop/thepinkdahlia, and that's where you can find it.
And I cannot stress enough, go check out the Etsy shop. They have amazing things. It blows my mind what you guys have upcycled.
They're so cute.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks, Jenny.
All right, thanks, Jenny. Okay, so next, we have a returning guest, Michelle Ennebo. We're super excited she could come back this week because we just did not finish talking about enough photography stuff last week. So luckily she was free, and last week she talked to us about easy and creative ways to take pictures of your family. And today she's going to come back and share more of her tips and tricks for photographing kids, as well as some fun ideas for staging your photos to show off your child in the moment, and share with us some of her favorite sites for actually getting prints and that sort of thing. So welcome back, Michelle.
Well, thank you. It's fun to be back. I know it went by so quickly last week, so I'm glad you get to have me back. That's great.
Yeah, us too.
Yeah. So, You guys wanted to talk a little bit about like taking pictures and kind of capturing your whole family, right?
Right. And did you also have any other tips for us? I mean, I know we talked last week. We had turning off the flash, you know, zooming in on faces, making sure the background isn't busy. Is there anything that we missed or that we didn't get to talk about?
One of the things that I think is actually the most important thing is to remember to not just take pictures of the big stuff, but to get the small stuff too. So, like, my husband's always telling me, gosh, you know, you got to bring your camera to the preschool graduation or, you know, all these big events. And I honestly, I hate those pictures. I take them and I can't stand them. It's not like I'm going to frame them. They're too far away. The lighting is horrible. What I want to remember is us making Christmas cookies or my dad reading The Night Before Christmas with my girls all in the bed and everybody giggling with him, or going downtown and seeing the Christmas lights and everybody excited because they got new gloves and showing them off. You know, those fun things, those little memories, the slice of life stuff that kids may not remember later, but I know that I really enjoy going back and seeing pictures of like that of my my youth and my husband's youth. So it's so much fun to really make sure you capture the little stuff that happens all the time.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. When I got married, people said, oh, make sure your photographer takes a lot of candids. And those ended up being my favorite pictures. Not so much the pose pictures, besides the one of me in my wedding dress, because I can't believe I was ever that skinny. I love that one, of course. But, you know, those candid pictures of, you know, people getting dressed and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So,
what I want to know is, really, how do you remember to take your camera with you everywhere?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's like the, you know, the cobbler's kids never have shoes. Unless I am very intentional about bringing my camera, I don't actually remember because it's bigger and things like that.
Right,
so
right.
They always say that the best camera is the one that you have with you. So hello, iPhone. That's the one that gets used, you know, half the time. But a lot of times I'm intentional in my house, you know, when we're, dipping chocolates and things like that that are fun to get, or for birthdays. Like, for example, I always take pictures of my kids on their birthdays, of course, because I want to, get shots of them to mark the passage of time. But one shot in particular that I always try and take is a full-length shot of them in front of something dark, because that's what I started with. I started with, like, a black blanket hanging up. And I take a full-length shot of them, and then I have them printed as panoramic pictures, you know, which is like a 4x10 size picture. And I have them, this full-length shot of them standing up, or when they were a baby, actually lying down, but the full length of them, and I have them printed, and I put them in frames because you can buy frames that are panoramic. I put them in frames every year, and yeah, I just put the latest picture up in front. But it's so much fun every year to take out all the other pictures that are stuck behind it and see how their bodies have changed year to year to year. It's amazing what differences you see.
That's a great idea, and I love the fact that you put them all in the same frame, because that's sort of one of the things I don't know if it's superstitious or what, but I never like to take pictures out of a frame. But I like the fact that you can just pile on top. That sort of is a good way.
Oh, my gosh. I have to tell you, I am terrible. Like, if I am done with frames, I don't, but because I have so many pictures and I have all the negatives and the digital files, I actually sell my frames at garage sales with the pictures in it. My husband's like, what? You can't sell those pictures? I got more copies. Michelle, don't worry.
I have this is Debbie, and I'm sitting in Beth's studio, but I have a great idea too. There are these frames that you can buy. You know how you just, that school picture, you just hate that school picture. It's the background, the ugly background. But your point about them growing older, there's a frame, I think like Lillian Vernon sells it, and it's of a schoolhouse, and you put their school picture in side by side, and it does it all the way up to 12th grade. And you can see how their faces change over the years.
Aww.
And you insert their little school picture, and it's a place to put it. And you can see how they change.
Oh, it's so cool. And even now, like my oldest daughter turns 11 on Monday. And you think, oh, they stop changing. You know, once they hit 3 or 4, they really stop changing so much. Oh, my gosh. Hello, I'm getting a teenager. This is really scary for me. But you can really see the difference from last year. So it's fun. It's fun to compare those kind of things.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I'd love for you to talk a little bit about how you sort of combine storytelling with picture taking.
Well, you know what I did is I started 2 years ago. I started a blog for my business to put all my client photos. But I wanted to blog probably 5 days a week, and I'm not doing 5 clients a week. That's just too much. So I started putting personal posts out there, and I've had so much fun thinking ahead, like, what am I going to put on my blog now? And my clients have really enjoyed kind of seeing, you know, what kind of mom I am and what my kids are up to, and that's given me a personal connection with them. But I love that I can just, you know, on one day put a few words out there. Like, I just did a post about how awful ski lessons were last week. You know, and you just, it's one of those things that you'll look back and we'll laugh about it, and because it was a sheet of ice, that was why it was so bad. But we'll look back and we'll laugh on it and think, God, we were crazy parents and we were learning as we were going along, but it's fun. And there is a company called Blurb. They make great books. I've used their books for my clients. I've used them for teacher gifts. I've used them for tons of stuff. And they will do this thing called a blog slurp. So they take
a blog slurp.
Yeah.
Okay.
They will take all of my personal posts, and they will take the text and the pictures and pull them into a book for me. Now, I really think you need to go back and swap out those pictures, because they're going to be low-resolution pictures if you're putting them out on the web. But you should know where all of your pictures are, because you'll know what month the post was done, and you could go back into that month and pull out the high-resolution pictures. But it is such a fun thing. Last year, my book was 200 pages, and I had actually cut that down. And it is so fun to go back and say, oh, do you remember that time at family camp? Or do you remember on your birthday we did this? We went out for Mexican food, or, you know, all these things, you know, with the sombrero. And it's fun to go back and see all those memories. And I ended up giving them as gifts to my parents and my mother-in-law for birthdays and things, because it's such a nice memory for them to have, too. And I know actually my clients have enjoyed coming. If they have to wait for me, they sit in my living room and they flip through my year last year. So
that's great. You know, it reminds me a little bit, but it's more efficient of, you know, I've scrapbooking and journaling combined, where you scrapbook, but then you also journal about that time. But
yes,
this is a way to sort of have it more efficient because it's all in one space.
It's all in one space. And I have to admit, I've never been a scrapbooker because I have so many pictures. I'm like, oh, I can't do that. And I also can't have something where I'm behind all the time.
Okay.
And so I try to stay on top of it and put that blog out there. But the cool thing about it is I have a ton of family in Eastern Canada, and they'll come and take a look at my blog on a daily basis. And then, you know, we've got family members kind of all over the place, and I don't talk to them every day, but they can go and take a look at my blog and see, oh, this is what happened, you know, this week, that kind of thing. And I have friends that do it too. They say every couple weeks they get a cup of coffee, they sit down and find out what's going on in our life. And it's just
that's
a
great
fun way to connect with people.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, speaking of, because I want to make sure we get to this. Speaking of products, and so I love the blog slurp. Do you have? Because I know you, and you try out things, and you will move and change if it's not just perfect. Can you recommend for our listeners some places that you really like to get your things?
Photos
printed, good quality books, that sort of thing.
Yep. For books, I would definitely go with blurb.com, blurb.com. They do a great job. And then for prints and fun little products and things, MPix is who I recommend to all my clients. It's an online service. You go, you upload your pictures. You can choose what sizes you want. They have keychains. They have wall clings. If you're redoing a picture of your kid's bedroom and you want a big, huge picture of them playing soccer on the wall like a mural, they do that kind of thing.
That's adorable.
It's a very, very fun idea. And then as far as canvases go, I love canvases. I love the way how smart and contemporary canvases look. There's no glass to get in between you and your picture. And Canvas On Demand is an awesome company. They do an excellent job. I've used them for all of my clients, too.
What is a canvas? What exactly does
that mean? A canvas is just, it is literally your picture printed on canvas and then stretched. So it is a picture that can go on a wall, like a painting kind of thing. You can put it directly on the wall without a frame or glass or anything. It's a very, very neat look.
So you don't have the glare of the glass.
No, exactly. Exactly. And you could usually you can get your pictures wrapped around the canvas too, so they go around the sides of the canvas. It's very neat. And then one last thing I want to recommend. I actually, when I did the show last time, people went to my website. Some of your listeners went to my website and then emailed me with questions about this purse that I was wearing. It's called, the company is called Beautiful Bag, and they're out of the Netherlands. Oh my gosh. It totally fulfilled my unanswered Barbie complex. You know, my purse is light pink and light yellow patent leather, and it has a picture of my three girls on the front of it in bright, shiny colors. Oh, so great.
That's great. Well, we're all done with today's show, but thank you so much, Michelle, for coming back. If you want
sure.
more information, be sure to check out the TogiNet website for Michelle's website. Thank you so much. Have a great
day. Have a great day.